Hello, and welcome back to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most real-world relevant topics in the entire specification, fuels and earth science. Think about it. Every time you get in a car, fly on a plane, or turn on a gas hob, you're using the chemistry we're about to cover. This topic connects crude oil, fractional distillation, combustion reactions, atmospheric pollution, and a really exciting process called cracking. It also asks you to think critically about the future of energy, specifically whether hydrogen could replace petrol. Examiners absolutely love this topic because it gives them so many ways to test your understanding, from writing balanced equations to evaluating the pros and cons of different fuels. So let's get into it. Grab a pen. You're going to want to take notes. Let's start with crude oil itself. Crude oil is described as a finite resource. And that phrase, finite resource, is one you must use in the exam. It means it will run out. Crude oil was formed over millions of years from the remains of ancient marine organisms, so once it's gone, it's gone. Crude oil is a mixture of hydrocarbons. And here's your first key definition. Hydrocarbons are compounds containing only carbon and hydrogen. Nothing else. Just carbon and hydrogen. Now, crude oil on its own isn't very useful. It's a thick, dark mixture. To make it useful, we separate it into fractions using fractional distillation. Here's how it works. The crude oil is heated until it vaporizes, and the vapor is fed into a tall fractionating column. This column is hot at the bottom and cool at the top. There's a temperature gradient. Different hydrocarbons have different boiling points, and they condense at different heights in the column where the temperature matches their boiling point. The fractions are collected at different levels. Let me walk you through the fractions from top to bottom. At the very top, where it's coolest, you collect the refinery gases. These are the smallest molecules with just 1 to 4 carbon atoms. They're used for cooking and heating. Moving down, you get petrol, which is used as car fuel, then kerosene, which fuels aircraft. You might also see it called jet fuel or paraffin. Below that is diesel oil, used in lorries and trains, then fuel oil, used in ships and power stations, and right at the bottom, the heaviest residue that doesn't even vaporize, bitumen, which is used to surface roads. Here's the really important trend to learn. As you go down the column, the molecules get bigger. Bigger molecules have stronger intermolecular forces, so they need more energy to break apart, meaning higher boiling points. Bigger molecules are also more viscous. They flow less easily, and they're harder to ignite. Smaller molecules at the top are the opposite. Low boiling points, low viscosity, and they ignite very easily. Examiners will ask you to explain these trends, so make sure you link chain length to intermolecular forces. Now let's talk about combustion. When we burn hydrocarbons, we're reacting them with oxygen. Complete combustion happens when there's plenty of oxygen available. The products are carbon dioxide and water. Here's the equation for methane, the simplest hydrocarbon. CH4 plus 2O2 gives CO2 plus 2H2O. You must be able to write and balance these equations. The key word is balanced. The number of atoms on each side must be equal. But what happens when there isn't enough oxygen? That's incomplete combustion. Instead of producing carbon dioxide, you get carbon monoxide, CO, and sometimes solid carbon particles, which we call soot. Carbon monoxide is extremely dangerous because it's a colorless, odorless gas that binds to hemoglobin in your blood, preventing it from carrying oxygen. This is why carbon monoxide detectors in homes are so important. Now, there are two other major pollutants from burning fuels that you need to know. First, sulfur dioxide. Crude oil contains small amounts of sulfur as an impurity. When you burn the fuel, this sulfur reacts with oxygen to form sulfur dioxide. This is important. The sulfur dioxide does not come from the hydrocarbon itself. It comes from the sulfur impurities in the fuel. Sulfur dioxide dissolves in rainwater to form sulfurous acid, which is a component of acid rain. Acid rain damages ecosystems, corrodes buildings, and harms aquatic life. Second pollutant, nitrogen oxides, often written as NOx. At the very high temperatures inside a car engine, nitrogen and oxygen from the air react together to form nitrogen monoxide. This then reacts further to form nitrogen dioxide. These nitrogen oxides contribute to smog and respiratory problems. Again, this is not from the fuel itself, it's from the air inside the engine. Let's move on to cracking. Here's the problem. The fractions we need most, petrol and lighter fractions, are in high demand, but crude oil produces more of the heavier fractions than we need. Cracking is the solution. Cracking breaks down large alkane molecules into smaller, more useful molecules. The conditions required are high temperature, around 500 to 600 degrees Celsius, and a catalyst, typically aluminum oxide or silica. Crucially, cracking always produces a mixture of a smaller alkane and an alkene. Alkenes are unsaturated hydrocarbons. They contain a carbon-carbon double bond. This double bond is what makes alkenes so reactive and useful. Alkenes are the starting material for making plastics and polymers. You can test for an alkene using bromine water. Alkenes decolorize orange bromine water to colorless, while alkanes do not. Finally, let's briefly cover hydrogen as an alternative fuel. Hydrogen fuel cells produce electricity by reacting hydrogen with oxygen. The only product is water, completely clean. Compare this to petrol, which produces carbon dioxide and other pollutants. However, hydrogen has drawbacks. It's difficult and expensive to store safely. Most hydrogen is currently produced from fossil fuels anyway, and the infrastructure, like hydrogen filling stations, is not yet widely available. Examiners love asking you to evaluate hydrogen versus petrol, so make sure you can argue both sides. Right, let's talk exam technique. There are some mistakes that candidates make again and again, and I want to make sure you don't fall into those traps. Mistake number one, confusing complete and incomplete combustion products. Complete combustion gives carbon dioxide and water. Incomplete combustion gives carbon monoxide and soot. If a question says limited oxygen or insufficient oxygen, that's your signal to write carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. Mistake number two, saying sulfur dioxide comes from the hydrocarbon, it does not. Sulfur dioxide comes from sulfur impurities in the fuel. If you write that burning a hydrocarbon produces sulfur dioxide, you will lose the mark. The correct answer is that sulfur impurities in the fuel react with oxygen to produce sulfur dioxide. Mistake number three, describing cracking as creating new elements. It does not. Cracking rearranges existing carbon and hydrogen atoms into different molecules. No new elements are created. Cracking is a thermal decomposition reaction. Mistake number four, not balancing combustion equations. When a question says, write a balanced equation, you must check that the number of each type of atom is the same on both sides. Examiners will not award marks for unbalanced equations. For command words, if a question says, explain, you must use the word because or give a reason, not just describe what happens. If it says evaluate, you must give both advantages and disadvantages and come to a conclusion. If it says state, keep it brief, one or two words or a short phrase. One more tip. When answering questions about fractional distillation, always link the physical property you're describing to the size of the molecule. For example, bitumen has a higher boiling point than petrol because it has larger molecules with stronger intermolecular forces, requiring more energy to overcome. Time for a quick-fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are hydrocarbons? Pause now. Answer. Compounds containing only carbon and hydrogen. Question 2. What are the products of complete combustion of a hydrocarbon? Pause now. Answer. Carbon dioxide and water. Question 3. Where does sulfur dioxide come from when burning fuel? Pause now. Answer. From sulfur impurities in the fuel, not from the hydrocarbon itself. Question 4. What conditions are needed for cracking? Pause now. Answer, high temperature, around 500 to 600 degrees Celsius, and a catalyst such as aluminum oxide. Question 5. How do you test for an alkene? Pause now. Answer, add bromine water. Alkenes decolorize it from orange to colorless. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the key ideas in fuels and earth science. Crude oil is a finite resource. A mixture of hydrocarbons separated by fractional distillation based on boiling points. Smaller fractions have lower boiling points, lower viscosity, and ignite more easily. Complete combustion produces carbon dioxide and water. Incomplete combustion produces carbon monoxide and soot. Sulfur dioxide comes from sulfur impurities. Nitrogen oxides form in hot engines from atmospheric nitrogen and oxygen. cracking breaks large alkanes into smaller alkanes and alkenes using high temperature and a catalyst. And hydrogen is a cleaner fuel than petrol, but has practical challenges around storage and infrastructure. Make sure you can write balanced combustion equations, explain the trends in fraction properties, and evaluate hydrogen versus petrol. These are the most frequently examined areas. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, keep practicing those past paper questions. And remember, every mark you understand is a mark you can earn. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.